The reading is from Mark chapter 2, and we're reading verses 1 to 12. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus and, after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there, thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home." He got up, took his mat and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this."
We do keep that open, and let me pray. Father God, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, and we pray that this morning it would be food for our soul, and we ask that you would speak to us through it. And we pray, Lord, that we wouldn't be simply hearers of the word, but we would be doers of the word also. So Lord, please help me to be faithful and clear, and we just pray that you would now encourage us, challenge us by your word. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, the following exchange recently appeared on the internet, claiming to be a transcript of a radio conversation between that actually happened, okay, although the story was immediately denied by US authorities. It goes a bit like this. "Ship, please divert your course 0.5 degrees to the south to avoid collision." Reply: "Recommend you divert your course 15 degrees to the south to avoid collision." "Ship, this is the captain of a US Navy ship. I say again, divert your course." Reply: "No, I say again, you divert your course." "Ship, this is the aircraft carrier USS Coral Sea. We are a large warship of the US Navy. Divert your course now." Reply: "This is a lighthouse. Your call." I love that joke. There are many occasions in life when a case of mistaken identity can prove disastrous. And so it is with Jesus of Nazareth. The question then is simple: do we have his identity right? Or, like the ship, are we unknowingly straying into dangerous waters? So my aim this morning, if you like, is that from this story in Mark's Gospel, we might know Jesus better, yes, but more than that, My prayer is we may understand that what it means to have faith in Jesus and why forgiveness is our greatest need. So let me read again verses 1 to 2. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. So by now, news about Jesus was spreading quickly around Galilee. In chapter 1, verse 37, we read that everyone was looking for Jesus. See, there's no doubt that this carpenter from Nazareth was the talk of the town. And the news continued to spread of both Jesus' message and his miracles. So after healing the leper in verses 44, back in chapter 1, instead, we read, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet, the people still came to him from everywhere. So Jesus' popularity was growing and growing and growing. He is certainly doing remarkable things. He is unquestionably attracting a great deal of attention. Yet is this all there is to Jesus? Is our view of Jesus, the man of miracles, the great moral teacher, the healer, or is there more to him? I guess if we're honest, the Jesus of the Bible can seem far from reality, really, when it comes to our daily lives. What does this all have to do with me? Is he relevant? And growing thought amongst our society is no. No, he's had his day. Let's leave Jesus where he belongs in the history books. Atheist Richard Dawkins, in his book The God Delusion, devotes 6 pages to assert that the Gospels and Jesus' deity are fiction. Yet the Gospel writers take a very different view. They say these are real events that really happened and really matter to you and me. And so with that in mind, what then is Mark trying to communicate in this story of this paralytic man? And we're going to focus on 2 things that I think we can learn from this passage. Number 1, faith. And number 2, forgiveness. So faith, what do we learn about faith? Well, Jesus is now back in Capernaum. But that doesn't deter the crowds. Look again down at verse 2. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door. Yet Jesus continues to preach. A reminder to us that the primary task of Jesus was to preach the good news of forgiveness of sins. That is, of course, why he has come, isn't it? But yet behind all this apparent lack of crowd control, Jesus is about to teach a vital lesson. It's a lesson each of us must hear today. It's a lesson about faith. Now, I don't know what the word faith means to you. It can mean many different meanings, can't it? But for the sake of argument, I thought we could use the reliable Oxford Dictionary, and defines faith as this. It says, faith is complete trust or confidence in someone or something. I'll say that again. Faith is complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Look again at verses 3 to 5. Some men came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Jesus saw their faith. Now, all of us exercise faith every day, most of the time without even knowing about it. See, the moment we turn on the car, we trust that it will start and that it will get us from A to B and get us to our destination in time, in one piece. Yet how do we exercise our faith in our car? Well, we have to get in, but we also have to turn the key. Or when we board a plane, we have never met the pilot, nor seen or know anything about his flight experience. Yet we demonstrate faith by trusting that he will safely transport us to our holiday destination. And so notice then, all these expressions of faith are deeply active. So faith is not some mystical power that some possess and others lack. And so it is with faith in God. It's all about trusting who he is and putting our faith into practice. A living faith should be evident in our lives. What then is it then that Jesus sees in these men? Well, verse 3, look again. Verse 3, some men came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four of them. So here are our men in this story. They've heard this man Jesus is back in town. And what's the first thing that they do? They go and fetch this paralyzed man. See, hearing no doubt of these great miracles of Jesus, the men act in extraordinary faith and seize the opportunity to put their faith into action. But look on, look at verse 4. Mark writes, since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus. So the men, you see, didn't settle for back row seats. No, they were determined to get their friend to Jesus. Now you can imagine the scene, can't you? Jesus is in the middle of this room. Crowds of people are all around him. And then a noise and some dust begins to fall. And they look up and they see these men peering through the roof. And suddenly this paralyzed man is lowered on his mat. Now we know the story. We've heard it many times. But do you see, these men put their entire confidence in Jesus and show their faith. And Jesus sees it. Verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, see, their faith could be seen. It wasn't hidden away. It was bold. It was active. So maybe they didn't want to miss this opportunity. See, could this be our friend's only chance to see Jesus? We must act now. Whatever we have to do, we must get him to Jesus. And so what does this then teach us about faith? Well, we, like these men, are to show our faith to the world. So we trust in that Jesus is in control of every circumstance in our life, even if we don't have every available detail at the time. Do we have confidence that in Jesus, based on who he is, rather than on what we know or what we have seen? And are we willing to go to extraordinary lengths for the sake of others, like these four men? Notice Jesus, again, look at verse 5. Jesus sees their faith and then turns to the paralytic. So the emphasis here is very much on the friends of the paralytic man. So maybe there is someone whom you are longing to bring to Jesus. Perhaps they are unwell or in trouble or simply not trusting in Christ for their salvation. Well, let's have faith that Jesus can meet the needs of those we know and have faith that he will do what is best. So that brings us on to our second point. What is best for us? Well, number two, that was faith. What do we learn about forgiveness? A good question then is this. What were the men expecting Jesus to do? Well, the man was paralyzed, wasn't he? They were expecting Jesus to heal him from his paralysis. What does Jesus do? Verse 5. And at verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." What? No, Jesus, hang on a minute. You're not seeing the real issue here. He's paralyzed. We brought him to you so you could make him walk. See, Jesus is teaching, isn't he, something so important that it can easily be overlooked. That is that the man lying on the ground has an even greater need than the use of his legs. Now, don't mishear me. I'm not saying that Jesus doesn't care about his physical condition. And he isn't teaching here that the man is physically paralyzed because he is a sinner. No, Jesus is saying here that there is a need that goes far beyond the physical. He's speaking here of our spiritual need. For we are all spiritually paralyzed, unable to know God because of our sin. And remember, that's why, isn't it, Jesus has come. Remember back in chapter 1, verse 14, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. Repent and believe. But if we are in our minds thinking about the identity of Jesus, who he really is, this proclaiming forgiveness of sins goes far deeper. And the teachers of the law are the first to speak up. Verses 6 to 7. Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And so Jesus isn't simply diagnosing the man's greatest need. He is pointing firmly to himself as the only one who can offer the much needed treatment. And the teachers of the law here are right. See, either Jesus is the divine Son of God, and he has authority to forgive sins, or he is not, and nothing more than a liar and a blasphemer. And still today, people are happy, aren't they, to see Jesus as this great healer and moral teacher. But when it comes to his being God, they just can't accept it. And all we can say is it's a matter of the heart. How then does this fit with our focus then on forgiveness? Well, you see, Jesus has already shown that there is a greater need for man beyond his physical well-being. And so if Jesus is God, then his words must be listened to and not ignored. And that's why it's an either-or. See, either he is God or he isn't. And if he is God, well, then it changes everything. See, our whole perspective on life can have assured meaning. because we know that there is a purpose. See, life can at times, can't it? It can seem meaningless. William Shakespeare once said, "We are born to die." Are we just born to die? Are we just apes that got lucky? Well, the great news of the gospel is that our God, our maker of all things, revealed himself to us and has done everything as he planned so that we might know him. And I think verse 5 is a wonderful verse. It pictures God's compassion and mercy. Look again at verse 5. Jesus turns to the paralytic man and says, "Son, your sins are forgiven." There is a personal relationship available to all those who turn and trust in Jesus. So as we draw to a close, let's look at verses 8 to the end. Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, 'I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home.' He got up, took his mat and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, 'We have never seen anything like this.'" We know that only God has authority to forgive sins. Now, Jesus goes on to demonstrate with great clarity who he is, why he has come. And firstly then, which is easier? Did you see that? They said, "Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat and walk'?" So there are some things, aren't there, you have to be pretty confident about before making bold claims. And so Jesus can say, can't he, "Your sins are forgiven." But how are people to know? Seeing the man walk, however, is far more visible, isn't it? And so Jesus, to show that he has been given authority on earth to forgive sins, says to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home." And he did. He got up, he took his mat, and he walked out in full view of them all. So there's a saying that seeing is believing. And there is no question that the onlookers, the teachers of the law, the paralyzed man, and the four men in the roof have witnessed something remarkable. They have to conclude that there is far more to Jesus than meets the eye. For if he can heal and display authority over sickness, then surely he can forgive sins. And why in all this does Jesus give himself the title Son of Man? Isn't he meant to be the Son of God? Well, this title has deep meaning, and we read in the prophet Daniel, speaking of him as one given authority, glory, and sovereign power, and all peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. Is this the Jesus you know? For we can all be like the ship, can't we? Thinking we have his identity right, yet not giving him the rightful honour he deserves. Put your faith in him, for salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Let me pray. Help us, Lord Jesus, to have a clear picture of who you are and what it means to follow you. Thank you that you came to save us from our sin, so that whoever believes in you may have eternal life. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that our righteousness comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. In his name we pray. Amen.